Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will join us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few moments as we talk about the biggest story of the day that has come out in the last about 2 hours, I would say. Penn State and the NCAA reached an agreement and a settlement on the money that has been paid and, as I understand it, put in escrow right now. And also restoring Penn State of its vacated wins should be basically the remaining parts of the sanctions, at least as far as the NCAA is concerned, with the money and the wins as well. Jake Corman having a press conference about that earlier today. We'll get to some of the highlights from that in just a moment. But Penn State, of course, had the vacated wins from 1998 to 2011. They have been restored now as part of the proposed settlement that we understand was approved by the Penn State Board of Trustees. So Joe Paterno will now be back at the top of college football's all-time Division I wins list with 409, one ahead of Eddie Robinson. Penn State also agreed to commit a total of $60 million to activities and programs for the prevention of child sexual abuse and the treatment of sexual abuse victims. The NCAA already restored Penn State's postseason eligibility, full scholarships back for the 2015-2016 academic year as well. Kirk Schultz, the Kansas State president and chair of the NCAA Board of Governors, said in his official release, "Today's agreement with Penn State reaffirms our authority to act. The NCAA has a legitimate role when the members' actions threaten the integrity of college sports. We have acted in good faith in addressing the failures and subsequent improvements on Penn State's campus. We must acknowledge the continued progress of the university while also maintaining our commitment to supporting the survivors of the sexual abuse." The $60 million fine and vacated victories.
Well, enough of that. Seriously, enough is enough. Okay? I know you're reading stuff. I got it, but we can't go this direction. Okay?
Okay.
Okay? The bottom line is what happened today is this. All right? Because I think you're reading the NCAA statement, correct?
I'm reading the statement that came out from the NCAA.
Okay. Then put that off to the side. Okay? They caved. All right?
In a simpler terms, yes.
Okay? The consent decree is over. And it doesn't mean the process is over. It does not in any way, shape, or form mean the process is over. There are going to be other areas where they're going to have to go through, and it's the paternal lawsuit's going to continue as an example. But ask yourselves, in a world of common sense, why they have kept giving back.
I'll tell you what, the whole reason is because they thought it was wrong to do it in the first place, and the emails that have come out recently, especially because of Senator Corman, exactly, have made it even worse. The reason I read that statement, Steve, and I was going to ask you this because I wanted to give my thought on it.
Nobody's reading that statement.
But there's one line in this statement that really bugs me. Today's agreement with Penn State reaffirms our authority to act. I didn't see that in that agreement.
Ask yourself, it's a totally different case. It's the NCAA and USC. Why wasn't USC given any givebacks?
Obviously, the NCAA thought that they were in the right. In hindsight, even.
Yeah.
But that was the reason I wanted to read that statement. That first line bugged me.
Kevin, I wouldn't have read the statement on the air. Wouldn't have read it. I wouldn't have dignified it.
No, I understand where you're coming from. I agree. I see your point.
Okay, there about. Okay, the winds are restored. Now, obviously, the court of public perception is it takes obviously more time, more work. We know that. The $60 million fine part. This is difficult because you can't sit there and. I think it's very difficult to look around and say, and it's not going to be a call of fine, it's going to be a donation. You can't really withdraw that up off the table. Because it's going to do children charities. So that becomes, so I think in the end, believe it or not, as much as people wanted to win 50-0, Corman, I think, won 35-0. And McCord as well, in all seriousness. Why did the NCAA want to settle? If they're so in the right, why did they feel the need to settle? Right?
Listen, I'm 100% behind you. I agree completely. I think that's why Schultz's statement is ridiculous to me.
I'm not going to sit there and worry about him.
But I do have one question though. What's the situation with the
The board of trustees at Penn State approved this and voted unanimously.
Yeah, that happened within the last hour, I believe.
Yes, but that's not the part. Listen to what I said. What did I just say?
They voted unanimously.
When's the last time they voted unanimously on anything?
Okay.
Listen to me.
I'm laughing because you're right. I understand.
Okay? Hear me out. This was not the usual 22-9 vote. Okay? This was a unanimous. Everybody was on board with this. Also, what did Dr. Eric Barron say?
That I did not hear. I did not hear a statement from him. Or see it, for that matter.
That Corman's version... He backs up completely. They repealed it.
What does this do with the bowl money?
Now to center that's a Big Ten issue. And that's the part that hasn't happened yet. The Big Ten has not made a statement about this yet. In any way, shape, or form. They've made no statement yet about what happened today. They'll have to at some point, one way or the other. Now, that doesn't mean everything's resolved at once here. Let me check here. No, it's still nothing from the Big Ten.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm on that list, and I haven't seen anything from them either.
Yeah.
Because I've been looking to see what the situation is with the bowl money.
I mean, Dave Greger wrote something today about, nice to see Joe get his wins back. I'm not happy with the damage done to the football program by the NCAA. And, Dave, there's nothing you can do about that now. Nobody can. Now it's a question of, as I have tried to point out repeatedly on this show, that it is a process that takes time. And in the process, today was another step forward in the process. That's what today was. I mean, that's in the end, that's what it is. And so, in that step, I mean, now, in the court of public appeal, perception, social media, so forth, although I understand the Joe Paterno story, it's another step for the football program moving forward for James Franklin. Today's great news, but at the same time, it doesn't change where he's going and what he's doing. He had a full complement of 85 scholarships to work with, which he won't get to. He has a full complement of 25 scholarships that he can give out this year. So in terms of the normalcy of that part, he already had in play and, of course, has a bowl game. But the bottom line is the NCAA, I think after looking at how the depositions came out, the USA Today article, and so forth, and the fact that they could make no headway at all with Judge Ann Covey, I think they looked around and said, look, for the lack of a better term, need to cut our losses here.
Now, Jake Corman, I think, had the comment. It wasn't really settlement talks. They agreed to repeal it. The NCAA has surrendered today as a victory for due process, which was not afforded in the case.
And that's the next part. There are still three people awaiting trial that have never once, I mean, still have not had their day in court. I mean, there's only been one person convicted in this. And that's the person that was alleged to have committed the crimes. That's the only person that's been convicted in this along the way. The other three, Dr. Spanier, Tim Curley, Gary Schultz, have waited now 3 years. But from, yeah, look, there's nothing you can do to repair the damage that was done to any person that was a victim of this. Nothing. At the same time, you also can't look at an entire group and say off with their heads either. You have to find out the truth and then dole out the fairness. That's done in a legal, in a court of law. That is done with due process. That is done with a prosecutor or a team of prosecutors. That's done with a team of attorneys and defense attorneys. That is done with a judge. And in many cases, done with a jury. Sometimes you opt to have a bench trial. That's where justice is doled out. And so forth. Where you have to understand exactly what is your role in where things fit. As much as people want instant gratification and solutions, or how often people want instant gratification and penalties, the toughest out. Well, as the depositions have been coming out and coming out, name one that was positive for the NCAA in the last 4 months.
See, I think that's the bigger problem right now as far as college sports is concerned. Right now it's governing organization. Well, just put it nicely, in my opinion, has done a poor job of governing.
Well, the NCAA, one thing about that statement, the NCAA, I believe, talked about children in that, I believe, right away. Is that true?
I'd have to see the complete statement, because I only have a portion of it right this second. But I'm looking for the complete statement. We'll have it next half hour.
Well, if they cared, they also would make a donation to charities here in Pennsylvania.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestic microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, soft drinks, peanuts. Roast those peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Now remember, in all the givebacks that have happened, everyone, not once did the NCAA end the probationary period. Not once did the NCAA did not want to end the probationary period, or they would have. They did not want to give Joe Paterno his wins back, or they would have, and they wanted the money distributed where they wanted it distributed. Well, the probationary period is over, although there'll be at least Senator Mitchell will still be involved in reports to the NCAA. The wins were restored for Joe Paterno and the one for Tom Bradley. And the money will be donated by Penn State to charities in the state of, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Those are all three things the NCAA fought and did not get. They finally just said, look, enough. Because they knew when the depositions came out, the more they came out, the more it was not helping their side. Get your reaction to it at 800-795-9565. And let's bring in now from Big Ten Network, good friend, Tioka Jackson. Ty was in an era, by the way, not in the vacated area. He played from 90 to 93. Ty, what was your reaction to all this today?
Happy about it because it really, for me, the vacating of the wins didn't address the problem, and it just was an overreach by the NCAA. And they have a tendency to overreach. And so for me, it's just it's some vindication for my former coach and for my university because those wins were won fair and square. And it really had nothing to do with the atrocities that were being committed by one Jerry Sandusky.
Next part of this, Ty, have you sensed overtime over the last couple of years when you have talked to people that there has actually been a softening in their opinions about Joe in particular when you have talked to them?
No, I can't say that. I can't say I've felt that. You know, certainly my opinion on this issue doesn't always line up with a lot of Penn State fans and my former teammates. And so, you know, when I talk to people from the beginning, right after this thing happened till now, most people seem to believe that that Joe didn't do much wrong. So I haven't seen a softening.
Okay.
To me.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
Because I'm a former player. And maybe people don't want to talk how they really feel to me straight face to face. Maybe that's what it is. Certainly I've heard the national media and then those sorts of things. You know, me personally, I'm going to take my coach for his word. He said he wished he had done more, so I do too. But certainly we know my coach didn't. There's no allegations that he touched anybody or did anything like that. So, you know, I think kind of the avalanche that came upon him was rough, and it was tough to deal with. But again, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Yet again, in reality, no matter in a situation like that, everybody always wishes they could have done more.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, anybody who's a common, decent individual – when something tragic happens or a series of tragedies have happened, you always wish, you know, if I had known more, I would have done more.
Exactly. And that's the tough thing. I mean, I think we can all agree that kids need to be protected, mm-hmm. and that football is lesser than kids. And that, to me, that was the biggest atrocity of all, that it was some sort of idea that at our school, within our athletic program, and specifically within a football program, somehow football mattered more than anything else. And the truth of the matter is, my fondest memories of my coach were him talking about subjects that had nothing to do with football. So we knew that wasn't the case. Now again, clearly, he says that he wished he had done more, and so do I. But again, there's a lot of people that have taken shots who have no idea who our coach is, what kind of man he was, and what mattered most to him. So that hearing all that other stuff was really tough to take as a former player. But you know, for me as a father, this is a very painful process. All of this stuff, and the wins being restored is a piece of it, but it was far down the totem pole. Like Coach said, always will remember the victims more than anything else. The young people who had their lives turned upside down, and unfortunately, none of this changes any of that.
Right. Yeah, well, exactly. But there's also has to be some sort of fairness involved, and the person that was accused was put to trial and convicted. Mm-hmm. That was a step in the direction of fairness, and those who weren't directly involved or had little knowledge of it should be treated fairly as well.
Absolutely. And again, you know, it's the definition of fairly is very subjective, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we recognize that, and we should recognize that. You know, I just, and from the NCAA's point of view, it's hard to come in and levy some sort of corrective actions after the fact without hurting people who didn't deserve it. I get that. My biggest complaint with them were that they acted as they always do, always late. They never preventative. They're always reactive. And they relied on someone else's work. They didn't come in and do their own investigation. And now we read their statements that someone on, you know, on the deciding committee on these sanctions didn't even read the other guy's work.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, that whole thing is just completely ridiculous, and it's just more of an indictment of the NCAA. Clearly, with what they've done with the wins, what they've done with restoring the scholarships and changing where this quote-unquote fine money is going, they're saying we made a mistake. And a lot of people were saying they made a mistake a few years ago.
51 Penn State football players had a 3.0 or better grade point average, including, I believe, 21 true freshmen. Playing for James Franklin. Moving forward, are you seeing some of the same ideals put forward in the current Penn State football program that you lived under with the ideals and culture of the Penn State football program from 1990 to '93?
Absolutely. And again, that's why hearing a culture of football first hurt big time, because that's not who Coach was. And that's clearly not who James Franklin is. Penn State is a very special place to play football for multiple reasons. And one of them, not the least of which, is that you are expected to go to school and graduate. Not just go to stay eligible, mm-hmm. but to go be on track to graduate. That's a very important and significant part of this whole process. And so I laugh a lot when I hear college football fans talk about programs and compare programs. In terms of winning and losing, and this, and the whole thing gets lost that these are still institutions of higher learning that these young people are walking around, giving an opportunity to go and get knowledge from, and so like that gets lost in this whole process. And there are a few schools in America who kind of do it the way it's supposed to be done, where they ask their kids to go to class and not only go to class but actually try to excel, and not only try to excel, in fact, excel and put them in position to excel with the type of support, academic support they need, and to create schedules that are conducive to graduating and doing well in class. So it really fills me with a lot of pride to see those numbers you just rattled off.
The next part tie in this is that they were able to somehow win 22 games during all of this with a depleted roster, because you know they were trying to roll it back, because you just to go from 85 to 65. Is very difficult. Going from 65 back to 85 is also difficult. They're not going to be at 85 next year.
Right.
But they still won 22. As you watch what James Franklin and his staff did this year at 7-6, and we know there's still going to be a fighting back process in 15, do you like the direction of Penn State football? Because you have to look at the Big Ten picture as a whole.
Absolutely. Those wins that you just talked about are quite remarkable when you consider
yeah.
The reductions in scholarship and how you have to practice, Steve. Like, people don't realize you can't practice the way you want to practice.
It's a great point, Ty. It's a great point.
You know what I mean? So, like, just think about the bowl practice that they had to go through, and I'm thinking about the bowl practice that we went through. They were basically two-a-day preseason practices going in the bowl. They couldn't practice like that.
No.
Ohio State and all these other schools could, because they had the full allotment of players available to them. Penn State, the entire last couple, 3 years, have not been able to practice the way they want to practice to even prepare to try to win games, let alone what it did to your play calling and your depth and how you had to play in those games. The preparation was hampered so much. So it's really remarkable, and it says a lot, again, about the type of program that exists in Happy Valley. And very, very few programs could have taken on the severe sanctions that we took on and still have the sort of respectable program that we have had these last 3 years, and to take the national champion the two overtimes, and certainly with some questionable calls, we certainly should have won that game. But that type of performance year in and year out, and you got to give credit to the coach who's now, O'Brien, who's now in Texas, and, mm-hmm. and our coach now, they did a heck of a job. And so we are in the bottom line business, though. And so at the end of the day, it's about winning and losing. Yep. And as you now begin to become healthy in full strength, we're now going to see what kind of coach we really have and kind of program we have going forward. There won't be any excuses, but the cavalry's coming, so it's a good time to be a Penn State fan.
It'll take a little time, though. I mean, again, going from 64 to 85, they're not going to get there this year. They'll probably get to 80 this year. They're still going to be behind a little bit.
And let's not discount the overriding atmosphere that you talked about before with people having – in their mind, hey, this is the place where, you know, some bad things happen. And so recruiting has been very strenuous.
Sure.
That's
good
not
going
to go away with just this action today. They're going to have to re-educate the minds and hearts of these young people about what kind of place Happy Valley really is.
Yeah.
And so all of that takes time to work through and to take away those bad legs so that we can now stand on the good legs.
The perception of the Big Ten after week two of the regular season was that there was a dramatic chasm between the SEC, and in particular the SEC West, and the Big Ten.
Sure.
I don't think there's any question that after the final weekend of the regular season and then after the bowl games, that the chasm is now down to about a median strip, all right, between the two because of what. But you have to do it long term. Mm-hmm. When you look at the Big Ten East, and we talk about the SEC West all the time, the Big Ten East, Ohio State, defending national champs, Michigan State, Mark's done a great job, James Franklin, program on the rise, and then you have obviously Michigan with Jim Harbaugh. All right, what is your perception moving forward of how exciting the Big Ten East has the potential to be?
Oh, it certainly has the potential to be incredible when you those names that you just rattled off are all high profile coaches with high-profile institutions who have far-reaching recruiting ability. So the potential is limitless. Now, can you actually harness that potential and all the resources and begin to have it pay dividends year in and year out? That's what the SEC has done, especially the West, and you got to give them credit. I think a lot of what we saw this year in terms of the matchups with the Big Ten and SEC is that this move to this finesse football game that's being played all around the country in Little League, Pop Warner, high school, and college.
Yep.
You're seeing a matchup problems when you go against really physical traditional teams, because now that's now what's not the norm. So you're used to now practicing against spread out offense that try to tempo. That the surprise they used to be 5 years ago, no longer. They're normal now. So now when you line up against people who want to really challenge you physically and have confrontations at the line of scrimmage, that now is tougher to get ready for because you're not used to practicing against it with your own team. And then you have players who don't really understand how to handle this game of attrition that they get caught in once the game starts. And so I think you saw some of that this year, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And so if you can recruit the athletes and play with a physical brand of football, you have an opportunity to be successful in today's game.
Love talking to you as always. You know that, Ty. Thanks a lot for carving out a few minutes for us today.
Guys, it was my pleasure. And of course, let's go Big Blue Penn State, huh?
All right. You got it. Tyoka Jackson joining us from Big Ten Network. His reaction on what happened today. We'll come back with more in a moment. And your calls, your reaction to all this is going to be important. What is your perception of where everything is now, and what is your perception of the Jake Corman announcement of the settlement today in the Corman-McCord suit against the NCAA? 800-795-9565. Your calls, important to us, in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
It's time to celebrate! Sunbury Motors Ford is celebrating their 100th anniversary. To kick off this milestone, SMC is slashing the prices of new Fords up to 10 grand. Pick over 58 new Ford Focuses as low as $15,950. Choose from 46 Ford Fusions priced from only $18,920. SMC has sold more F-150s in the last 10 years than any other Ford dealer in the entire Philadelphia region. Browse from over 75 trucks with discounts never seen before. Super Cab 4x4 F-150s are priced under 30 grand during this centennial celebration. Sunbury Motors is reducing all 67 new Ford Escapes, and they start at just $19,990. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Odo Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask about our Odo Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Merce family since 1915.
At the U.S. Postal Service, we deliver to every address in America.
So when it comes to packages you need to return, for whatever reason,
don't go out of your way to return it.
Because we'll already be there, delivering your mail.
Like we do almost every day.
So it's easy for us to pick up your returns.
Just print a label.
Schedule a free pickup.
Leave it for me.
Me.
Or me.
And we'll return it for you. For more information, visit USPS.com/returns.
What's important to Kevin and me is your reaction. At 1-800-795-9565. What?
No, what's important is your reaction. You're right.
I want to hear what the fans have to say at 800-795-9565. We are trying to get Jake Corman on the show. And Jake, I know, wants to carve out some time. He's on the road coming back here to State College. He's going to try and see if he can get with us at 4:35. He and Treasurer Rob McCord put this suit together. And there are going to be people that are upset with this because I think there are some people that wanted to see, I'm guessing here, Mark Emmert on a witness stand. Right. Look, they achieved, Senator Corman and Rob McCord, and I keep referring to him as Jake. You remember that Jake and I go back 30 years. In fact, Jake and I worked together.
You have a history.
In radio, believe it or not. Okay. So I know he's Senator Corman. I understand the, you know, but.
You're not disrespecting
Jake.
The office, is what you're trying to say. Right. I understand.
Right. To me, he's Jake, you know. But they achieved every goal they could have asked for here. The consent decree was invalidated. Now, people said, well, you know, there's a new one. No, okay. Senator Mitchell is still going to be involved in writing reports, but that really is the extent of it. Penn State is no longer on probation. The $60 million, let's be candid about that. You can stick to an ideology of, okay, these guys did nothing wrong, so nothing should have happened. Understand. Okay, I understand where you're coming from when you say that. All right. But let's be calm about this. It's going to be very difficult in the court of public opinion to look as if you backed off on a donation to help out children. All right, just some common sense here for a moment. The consent decree gone, no probation. Check mark for the Corman McCord team. Wins restored in games that were not a mirage. Check mark for the Corman McCord team. Keeping the money here in our Commonwealth that will help our children is important. Now, Kevin, I wanted, you know, okay, I asked you to, you know, I want you to read one part, the part at the beginning about children from the NCAA.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to call that up again.
Because this has been the common... All right.
Just give me a few minutes here. I have to call that one back up again.
Just hit it on the side. That's what I do with my stuff.
With a hammer, right. Yeah, it worked. It works out so well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Come on.
All right. I think I have the part you're looking for here. It's...
That they basically reaffirmed the commitment to pay, you know.
Let me see if this is the part you're looking for. We acted in good faith in addressing the failures of subsequent... We must acknowledge the continued progress of the university while maintaining our commitment to supporting the survivors of child sexual abuse.
Fine. Then I think the NCAA, for its part, should also announce that they're making a donation to help out children's charities in Pennsylvania. Wouldn't that also show a good faith difference making?
Yeah, I think here's the other part you were talking about with the University of South Carolina president and member of the Board of Governors. Continuing this legislation would further delay the distribution of funds to child sexual abuse survivors for years, undermining the very intent of the fine. While others will focus on the return of the winds, our top priority is on protecting, educating, and nurturing young people.
And the University of South Carolina can make a donation too. Doesn't have to be one entity, does it? Don't we all care? For James Franklin and his staff moving forward, look, I mean, this is great news, obviously, but they already have Penn State have started them down a path. Okay. And that's important. Penn State has turned the corner on the sanctions era. And now Penn State is into the fighting back era of Penn State football. Oh, by the way, while still graduating at an 88% clip. And by the way, having 51 football players get a 3-0 or better. Including 21 true freshmen recruited by James.